The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Are you one of those who believe that reading others and sizing up certain situations is merely an exercise in common sense? Do you consider gut instincts and common sense as one and the same? If we all had the same degree of common sense or gut instinct, well-meaning and loving parents would never have allowed their children to go with Jerry Sandusky. Educated professional and experienced people who would not have put their life savings into Bernie Madoff's hands, and influential school administrators and families would not have allowed FBI top 10 fugitive Eric Tooth to serve as their children's teacher and babysitter. Reading people in situations is not a mystical or clairvoyant process, and it is not based on luck or on the fact that someone just looks creepy, says retired senior FBI profiler Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole. This is Straight Up with Chris, real talk for business and parenthood, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. I am Chris Efesiou. Speaking to us on dangers, instincts, and the reliability of gut feelings in determining when someone or something is dangerous is my guest, Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole. Dr. O'Toole is an internationally recognized forensic behavioral consultant specializing in the recognition and assessment of concerning, troubling, and dangerous behaviors that, if unaddressed, can have a wide range of serious consequences from loss of business and revenue to loss of lives. She served as an FBI agent for nearly 28 years. As one of the senior and most accomplished agents of the Bureau's prestigious Behavioral Analysis Unit, Dr. O'Toole consulted on many of the FBI's highest profile and most complex cases and is recognized as the FBI's leading expert in the area of psychopathy. Dangerous Instincts, How Gut Feelings Betray Us, is Dr. O'Toole's book published in 2011, in which she discusses the right way to assess people for every situation in our personal and professional lives and how to make safer decisions using her sound method of assessing and recognizing trouble, or SMART method, of decision-making. And it is indeed my pleasure to have her as my guest today. Dr. O'Toole, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
The pleasure is mine. Please set the stage for us by giving us some background on you and your activities.
Sure. And thank you for that introduction. I was an FBI agent for a little over 28 years, and for more than half of that time, I worked as what's known as an FBI profiler in the Behavioral Analysis Unit. And for your listeners who watch Criminal Minds or some of the other popular TV shows or movies, that's the unit that's portrayed in that particular program. And I learned over the years, because all we did 24/7 as profilers is to study behavior and to analyze offender behavior and to do interviews and talk to victims and talk to offenders and ask them, how did this happen and why did this happen and how could this have been avoided, and to analyze their crime scene. So after doing that for such a long period of time, I began to see that one of the biggest problems that victims and their family members had was that they trusted someone to come into their home or into their comfort zone, is what we call it, and this was someone that appeared initially to be charming and at least not threatening or physically harming to them, but in the end it caused them a lot of damage either to themselves or to their loved ones.
Fascinating. You're an expert in psychopathy, and most of us use the term psychopath very colloquially, not necessarily understanding what it means.
Sure.
Psychopathy is the study of psychopaths. Could you please tell us in layman's terms what psychopathy is?
I will, and that's such an important question. Many of your listeners will recognize the term sociopath.
Correct.
And they may even think that it's a term currently used and that it means the same thing as a psychopath. So I would, number one, I would suggest the term sociopath is no longer used. It has been replaced by the term psychopath. And what psychopathy is a personality disorder. It is not a mental illness. And what I mean when saying that is that someone who has the 20 traits of psychopathy is not out of touch with reality. They are not considered crazy. In fact, they know right from wrong. They just choose to live their life in their own particular way. The classic hallmark of a psychopath is that these are people without a conscience. These are people with no empathy for others and no compassion. They are what we refer to as interspecies predators. They use and abuse people. That in mind, if you have someone who goes into a corporation and is a psychopath, you can see the kind of damage that they can do. A psychopath has no loyalty to anyone other than himself or herself. If they are a child predator, if they're a serial killer, you can see the damage that someone can do if they have no conscience or feel no empathy or compassion for either their victims or their victims' families.
So most of us have experienced or heard about bullying. Is a bully a psychopath?
No. Psychopathy, which is the disorder, the person with the disorder is the psychopath. It's in about 1% of the population, we think. So people can be mean, like bullies. People can be hurtful, like someone who engages in bullying behavior, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're a psychopath. In fact, that often gets confused. When we read things in the paper about a violent crime, we may say, well, that behavior is so callous, that must be someone who's psychopathic, and that would be incorrect. But it doesn't mean that bullying behavior, intimidating behavior, a threatening behavior, it doesn't mean it's okay if it's committed by someone who's not a psychopath. It's still extremely inappropriate behavior. It can actually be very disastrous to the person who's on the receiving end of it, and oftentimes it's actually considered a crime depending on the level of bullying behavior that they engage in.
Fascinating. So most of us believe that we have reliable instincts, our gut feelings, if you will, they are intact. And as such, they will alert us if confronted by a dangerous person or find ourselves in a dangerous situation. Now, your experience proves that that is not the case. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's correct. My experience with violent crime is that oftentimes, and more times than not, the victim does not look at the person that's going to hurt them, and they don't anticipate that they could be robbed, they could be sexually assaulted, that they could be murdered, because the offender presents in a very non-threatening way. The reversal of that is to say, in my experience as an FBI profiler and working with victims and their families, people will say, if, Mary Ellen, if we knew that person was going to hurt us, if we knew that person was going to hurt our child, we would never have allowed them into our comfort zone. And I'm not talking about people who are not educated, who are not smart. It's the exact opposite. These are people who are very intelligent, who are very loving parents and grandparents, but they get duped because they'll look at someone and they use what I call in the book the trappings of normalcy. Someone dresses well. Someone says, hey, I went to the same university that you did, or our children are in the same scout groups. We use trappings of normalcy to decide if someone is safe enough to come into our comfort zone. What I say in the book is that those trappings of normalcy have nothing at all to do with whether or not at some point down the road that person could hurt you financially or even in a more personal way.
Give us an example. Let's just look at Jerry Sandusky.
Sure.
He's been in the news forever. This morning he was in the news again trying to reduce his sentence or whatever the latest is. This is a person who looked like somebody's father, grandfather, certainly a trustworthy individual that I think most of us, hindsight being 2020, if when we look at him on television these days, we immediately assign the label as, well, he looks creepy. Well,
yeah.
He didn't look creepy 6-8 months ago before he was arrested.
And that's right. And that exposure that we have had to him with the labels that have been put onto him, that's now translated in most of our brains as being this guy looks creepy. But you're right. If you go back in time to 20, 30, even 40 years ago, when Jerry Sandusky was interacting with children and developing the charities and working as a coach, people did not see him as creepy. People did not see him as possibly threatening to their children. In fact, it was really just the opposite. They were really impressed that someone would be so generous, would be so attentive, would be so considerate and compassionate. So it's really the exact opposite. And like many offenders, he was aware of how to groom and manipulate moms and dads and other people to get what he wanted. So it's not only important that we read people correctly, especially if they're coming into our comfort zone. That's a phrase you keep hearing me say. Our comfort zone is anything that is important to us, children, our finances, our well-being. Not only was he able to cause those people to lower their guard, but he was attempting to get them to do it, which is even more devious. It wasn't that it just happened. He was attempting to make it happen.
So it's willful behavior. It's not an accident.
Willful behavior. And when you have someone that willfully, in a very predatory and analytical way, thinks about how am I going to get that child? How am I going to get that retired woman's retirement money? How am I going to get that victim into the car? It's not only that their behavior is bad, but they willfully think it through in order to make sure that it happens the way they want it to happen.
It is all about danger instincts, which is perhaps the overemphasis that we tend to give on the reliability of our own gut feelings when determining if someone is dangerous or when a situation is dangerous. We will talk about that and much more with my guest, Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole. This is Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Afasiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on voiceamerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest, Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole. For information on this program and other activities, please visit my website, chrisfsu.com, or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. My Facebook page is Chris Epicu, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Throughout the hour, I'll look forward to hearing your questions. You may call us at 1-866-472-5788 or email your question to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Please visit Dr. O'Toole's website at dangerousinstincts.com. Her Facebook page is Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole, and follow her on Twitter at Mary Ellen O'Toole. While we were on break, we received a question from one of our listeners, David in Boston, who says, Dr. O'Toole, can you please tell us what a profiler does and what they consider in arriving at a person's profile?
Sure. Hi, David. Thank you for that question. In my unit, we have a number of services that we provide. And let me start by making the distinction between when we would do a quote-unquote profile and when we would do a personality assessment, which is another service that we provide. A profile is done on a crime scene in which the offender is not known. And in that case, if we have, let's say, a homicide or a sexual assault, as a profiler, we look at all of the behavior in the crime scene, including the forensic evidence that was collected from the crime scene, the blood spatter pattern, evidence that was not left there that probably should have been. Well, why is that? We look at all of the behavior in the crime scene, and from that, we begin to make kind of conclusions or deductions about the kind of personality of this unknown offender. Now, on the other hand, I would get calls all the time saying, Mary Ellen, we think we have the suspect in this case. His name is John Smith, but we don't know how to interview someone like this, or we don't know how to really put together a good, solid investigative strategy based on someone with his kind of personality. And I would say, okay, tell me everything you know about this person, and not just about John Smith today, January the 10th, 2013. I want to know about him, his friends, his family, his traits, his behaviors, his hobbies, his likes, his dislikes. I want to know everything about him from the time he was a young boy until the time he became a suspect in your case. So It's not crystal balls. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's based on hard information that we can look at and we can actually analyze. And sometimes it takes days, weeks, and even longer to put together a profile and even in a personality assessment. But they're two separate things.
David, thank you again for this question. So we all pride ourselves that we have reliable instincts, but clearly, as you tell us, as you've articulated in your book, those instincts are not reliable all the time. Certainly, they are not reliable when it really counts. How can one fortify those instincts, if you will? How can one measure them? Certainly there's no scale. Is there a college course? Is there some kind of understanding that checklist, if you will, that one can go down and say, okay, I have this, I have this, I have that. I don't have that. Maybe I should improve upon it.
Right. And that's so important because I think we will all say at one point or another in our life, boy, you know, I either read people really well or I have really good gut instincts. And I would just say when you find yourself saying something like that, go back and say, what are you really basing that on? And let me say this about gut instincts that people will refer to. And sometimes people say my intuition tells me this, my gut instincts tell me this. Your ability to be really sharp and on point every day when you're interacting with people can really be affected by whether or not you have the flu, which right now is bad all over the country, whether or not you have had a fight with your loved one when you left, whether or not you've had bad news or you've lost a job. A lot of physical and emotional challenges in our life really affect how we behave at work and how we interact with people. And yet we think every day that our intuition is spot on. So that's the first thing that I would say. We're affected by our external environment. Then the second thing I would say is I'm not aware of any courses in any colleges, and I know we have no courses. I still teach at the FBI Academy. We have no courses that really improve your instincts. I can't compare mine to yours. I don't know when you're having a bad day or when I'm having an off day. So there's no way to compare or to know if you were born with better ones than I was born with. We don't even know where they're located in the body. And yet, we will make some pretty important, significant decisions by using that phrase, my gut instincts told me it was okay. So I think we have to know that we really don't have an internal barometer of measurement to know who has good instincts, when they have good instincts, and worse yet, when our instincts are off, but we have to make a decision nonetheless.
Are there predictors of reliable instincts or lack thereof?
Well, I would say this. Everybody has an example in their life. All your listeners will say, and I would say this as well, we've had an example in our life where someone came across to us in a way that just made us feel uncomfortable. They were kind of creepy for a variety of reasons, or they made us feel we didn't want to get to know it. We'll all have at least several examples of that in our life. And I would say to people, look, if you have that experience driving home from work tonight and you're walking down the street from your home down to the local diner and somebody makes you uncomfortable and you decide to walk to the other side of the street, do it. Absolutely do it. But too often that's not the case, where we're not given some kind of forecasting that someone is dangerous. And truthfully, I use this example in my FBI classes. You're standing, let's say, at a hospital elevator, and you have a loved one on the 20th floor, and you need to get up there really fast, and the elevator door opens, and there is someone in that elevator by themselves. It's a lone person, and they're disheveled, and they look dirty, and they're looking down. They're not looking at you. They make you uncomfortable. And your gut tells you don't get on the elevator, but you have a loved one who needs you up on the 20th floor. What are you going to do? Do you follow your gut, or do you get on the elevator? And most people will tell me, I'm not going to get on the elevator. I'm going to take the steps. The problem with that kind of analysis is that the only way to know if your gut is right, that person poses a danger to you, is to get on the elevator and have that person try to hurt you. And the same exists if you get a funny feeling and you don't get on an airplane. We can't credit ourselves with having good instincts because we didn't get on the airplane. The only way to know that we have a good instinct about not getting on the plane is that we didn't and the plane crashed. Now, some people may have that experience, but I would suggest very, very few people. So we give our gut instincts a lot more credit to navigate us successfully, and every day we're meeting people that could come into our comfort zone, and those are the people that really don't get caught up in our barometer, and yet we have to make decisions about them.
So gut instincts clearly are not reliable. Is common sense reliable? Is it, if I see a person, to your example, I need to get up on the top floor of the hospital, the elevator arrives, one lonely person, dirty, disheveled, looks down, no eye contact. Something tells me, common sense should tell me that I shouldn't really get in there, but that may or may not be true.
That's exactly right, and none of those descriptors that you just shared and that I shared a few minutes ago, none of those disheveled, unkempt, long straggly hair, none of those are predictive of violence, not one. And in fact, now in today's kind of wake of Sandy Hook and some of the other cases of mass violence, you see that a lot of people are talking about mental illness and that people who are mentally ill are people that in many ways we should be frightened of, and that couldn't be further from the truth. So going back to the elevator example, the fact that somebody doesn't look you in the eye, as an FBI profiler, I can tell you that doesn't make any difference. The fact that somebody could be unkempt, straggly hair, that's not predictive of anything. What's predictive of violence is internal. Those are things we can't see, and yet we have been really conditioned through television and through movies and through books that if somebody looks creepy and dangerous, then they are. That's simply not true.
So you said that what's predictive of violence is internal.
Yes.
How do we then, as citizens, as spouses, as parents, how do we protect ourselves by predicting that potential violence, and more importantly, how do we protect our loved ones, especially children, who don't have, quote-unquote, the common sense or the gut instinct to protect themselves?
Sure, and the one part that you left off is that I think is really important is, especially with children, oftentimes we inadvertently and certainly not intentionally, we give the child the responsibility to analyze an adult's behavior, whether they're safe or not safe. And so with children, their ability to make those decisions is almost just too great for them, and just in terms of where they are in their brain and good judgment in making decisions. But I would say this, the way I explain it in dangerous instincts is if your decision could cause long-term consequences to you or to your child or to your family. In other words, you're going out and you're hiring that financial advisor. If you make the wrong choice and give him or her a lot of information about you, if you have made the wrong decision or a poor decision, can that impact you for a long time? Answer is yes, it could. If the child comes home and says, Mom, Dad, I want to go over to Mary Ellen's house and spend the night. Her mom said it's okay. Is that a decision, if you base it on trappings of normalcy and not enough information on your neighbor, who you may not know that well, could that decision impact your child for the rest of their life? Yes, because if they are overnight guests at somebody's home and you don't know enough about that somebody, could your child be hurt? Yes. Molested? Yes. threatened, scared, yes. So you really have to look at the decisions that you're facing and say, is this decision that I'm about to make, is it possible it could change the rest of my life? Oh, yeah, it could maybe, or it could change things for a long time. I need to really understand what makes this person tick that I'm about ready to turn my finances over to, or my child over to, or I'm willing to quit my job and move across country because I think I met my soulmate online a couple of months ago. Is that possibly going to change my life if I made the wrong decision? And the answer to that would be yes. So those are the situations I'm sort of pulling out in my book and saying, now let's look at those life-changing situations that make it important for you to be able to read people better. If you're just ordering a pizza and somebody's coming to your home, you don't want to stress over having to analyze that person. If they're coming into your home and spending time inside your home, you absolutely do want to know what you're letting in that front door.
My guest is Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. My guest is Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole. Please visit her website, dangerousinstincts.com. Facebook page is Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole. And follow her on Twitter at Mary Ellen O'Toole. Before we went on break, we were talking about the trappings of normalcy. And I wonder if you could kind of guide us to what those trappings are, as well as in particular, you had mentioned, who you should allow into your house, who you should give your money to, what's considered normal. And at the same time, I wonder if you can tell us how people miss certain behaviors that could be predictors of lack of normalcy, if you will, that if considered properly, they could have helped them assess the threat.
Of course, sure. The trappings of normalcy are those behaviors or characteristics that we typically, and we being all of us, we typically use to say, oh, he's okay, she's fine. And here are some examples that I've heard over the years, and I myself have certainly fallen prey to this. I may be an FBI profiler. That doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. How someone dresses, the kind of job that they have, their background, their pedigree, what they share in common with us. So, for example, do they go to the same school? Do they have the same number of children? Do they drive a nice car? Do they take care of their house? Things that in our world we can look at and say, oh, that makes them seem okay. But none of those characteristics, and there are many more, the list is pretty endless. None of those characteristics really indicate whether or not someone closes the front door, abuses their children, beats up on their spouse, abuses drugs and alcohol. None of those trappings tell us that. So if you look at something that's really external and base your assessment that that person is okay, you could, and the situation is that important, you could be making a huge mistake and allowing them into your home. For example, let's say you have someone coming over to your home and they're going to spend time in your home painting the inside of your home. You come in and you ask them, you do an interview and you say, usually the questions that are asked is, have you ever had any problems with people in the past that you've worked for? Well, I can tell you most offenders that I've talked to, when you ask them a question like that, your audience is going to laugh, but believe it or not, they lie. It's like if you're working with HR in a company and you ask somebody who comes in to apply for a job, are you a team player? Nobody's going to say, oh no, I'm really not. I'm really a jerk. Nobody's going to say, I've never had any problems on the job painting somebody else's home. So we have to learn how to ask the questions to find out the kind of information that we want. And in the book, I talk about it's okay if somebody's coming into your comfort zone to ask them tough questions. So instead of saying to someone who is applying to be a painter in your home, who's going to be there for a week, if not longer, have you had any problems? What do you charge? How long are you going to be here? You want to ask questions like this. Can you tell me about someone you've worked for in the past who didn't like the job when you were done? And what did they say to you, and how did you resolve that? You want to ask them about prior interpersonal relationships that they've had where there were problems. And the same if you're hiring somebody in a company. Don't want to ask them if a team player. You want to ask them, handled problems with prior employers in the past. So you want to get below those trappings where you know people will try to put on what we call in the FBI a good face, their saving face, their impression managing how they come across to you.
And of course, there's great value in asking open-ended questions as opposed to, are you a team player? Of course I am, because the opposite would be unacceptable. Whereas an open-ended question, as you articulated earlier, allows enough room for even some of the most canning people to actually fall over themselves and at least have the red flags go up.
And have the red flags go up. And as we talked about earlier with Sandusky, it was a lot easier once the media was putting the labels on him to say, oh yeah, I see that creepy factor there now, but I can assure you, the parents and the victims and the people that were victimized by him years ago, they did not see that. And again, we have to really understand that it's not that we just miss behavior, it's that the person that could hurt us wants us to miss the behavior, wants us to see them as a good, non-threatening person.
We have a question from Sue in West Palm Beach. She asks, with all that has happened in the world recently, what should individuals be alert to identify a possibly dangerous person or situation at work, at home, or at a movie theater?
Sure. Sue, that's a great question. And that's really probably the one question that everybody is talking about throughout the country right now. And it has to be approached in a what I call multi-disciplinary approach. It's not just what can law enforcement spot, nor is it just what the boss at work spots. nor is it just what a teacher spots. We have to understand what some of the warning signs are for people that use violence to come back and kill people at the workplace or kill at schools or in theaters. And the one thing that's important, and I really try to get this across in Dangerous Instincts, this kind of behavior is not snap. And by that I mean somebody didn't just wake up one morning and decide to go into a theater or go into a school. There are warning signs along the way, and those warning signs go back years in most cases. I've had cases of mass violence where the behavior was considered and thought about and pondered for years, and then eventually they began to take steps to carry it out. So those warning signs need to be made very clear to moms and dads, to teachers, to employers, people that run companies. And so collectively, that we can identify the person who needs intervention before these crimes occur. Because if I could just underscore one thing, these just don't happen out of the blue. And the other thing I would say, too, it's very important, we're blaming the mentally ill person for these crimes of violence. And I'm not suggesting that these individuals don't have mental illness issues. But what I am saying is that the ability to plan out some of these crimes of violence, as we see and saw in Aurora, as we saw up in Connecticut, requires the ability to think strategically and sustain that for a period of time. And that means that they are in touch with reality, in my opinion.
It is absolutely true, because those people are, the planning that goes into such horrific events, time and time again, that just doesn't happen because you had a bad day one morning and you decided you're going to take out your frustration at someone. This takes planning. It takes meticulous planning, that if one was to put that kind of effort in planning something good, there will be a whole lot less misery and a whole lot more good in the world, I'm sure. Another question comes from Georgia in Chevy Chase, Maryland. She's asking, do you have any recommendations on how to prepare your employees for a dangerous situation such as a gunman in a building? What about preparing our children, whether at school or at home?
Absolutely. And, of course, you're hearing this through my experiences as a law enforcement person, but two things that I think are important, and that's a great question, Georgia. It is a new day, unfortunately. These mass homicides are a new phenomenon. I've studied this for many years. We're going to see more of them. There's just no question about it. So do we need to prepare students and employees? Yes, we do. And one of the best ways is, and it's not the only thing, but the warning signs. And we know there is pre-shooting warning signs that people can be aware of. This isn't super secret information. We're not trying to withhold it from people. But the warning signs become very, very important. And if we look at the schools, we have training for schools for earthquakes. I spent many years out in San Francisco in the FBI field office out there, and earthquakes were not a common event, and yet we had earthquake drills. We need to have active shooting drills. Sadly enough, I'm sorry to say, but it is a new normal. And the same at work. If your employees have information and training and knowledge, it empowers them to feel like they have something to help them protect themselves. And schools and places of employment also have to have a process where an employee can call anonymously into a tip line and say, I'm concerned about Mary Ellen, but I don't want her to get fired either. So that employer has to have a process to check out my behavior, but not punish me for it if I'm just having a bad day and was acting stupid. And the same is applicable to schools. Having a process where a student or a parent or somebody that works in the cafeteria to call in and say anonymously if that's how they want to report it, I'm concerned about Mary Ellen, but if I'm wrong, I don't want her to be expelled or ruin her chances for a good career later on down the road. So you can see where it's really, it has many prongs to it, but training, knowledge, and information is very important.
When we come back, we'll talk about Dr. Atul's method by the acronym SMART, standing for Sound Method of Assessing and Recognizing Trouble. My guest is Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole, and this is Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris FSCU. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion, passion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris FSCU understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris FSCU. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. My guest is Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole. Please visit her website, dangerousinstincts.com, which is also the title of her book. Her Facebook page is Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole, and she is Mary Ellen O'Toole on Twitter. We received another question from one of our listeners, from Francis in Philadelphia, who is asking or commenting, "I find this all very nerve-wracking. How do we protect ourselves and our children? What should we be on the lookout for in terms of a predator or dangerous behavior?" And I think that may be a terrific segue, Mary Ellen, for articulating for us the SMART method of assessing trouble, which I am sure will give the answer to that listener's question.
Sure. That's, again, another really good question. And I don't want Francis to be, you know, really anxious in listening to this information, because you are going to, we all are, have to live our lives every day and make decisions that are important to us. So, you know, having said that, the tools in that I shared in Dangerous Instincts, I want you to have them. So when you do have to make a decision about your child going with someone, riding in the car with someone, you'll feel like you can dig a little deeper and know whether or not that's really a good idea. And, or maybe you have to make another decision about how to get them back and forth from the hockey game, or whether or not you want your child with someone. So let me talk about the predator. The predator is actually a very specific word, in my world of violent crime and predatory behavior. And staying alert with your child, just in terms of who has access to your child, and what's your child's reaction to their having access to them. Being aware and not attempting to say to your child, oh, no, I'm sure that they're fine. You don't worry about it. And that's what I find would happen a lot in cases that I had. Not that parents don't love their children. It's the exact opposite. But we have to be able to recognize behavior that we see as being, I'm not sure I'm liking that behavior, but we don't want to do one of three things. Normalize it, which means that, oh, well, you know, that's the way coaches are. They just or behave like that. We don't want to rationalize it and say, well, that's the way my great uncle Jimmy was years ago. Or we don't want to explain it away and make it something that it's not. So we generally have a way of looking at behavior, and oftentimes we see it as moms and dads, but then we have a way of saying, oh, it probably doesn't really mean anything. And I think that's where we make our big mistake. And in Dangerous Instincts, I try to help people to look and see the kinds of behaviors that should be red flags for you. Behaviors where the individual, like in the case of Eric Toth, who's on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, pretty big deal to be on the FBI's most wanted. He replaced Osama bin Laden. That's a pretty dangerous position to be in. He was a teacher. And he's a handsome guy. He's very well educated. He dresses well. He's able to come into families and really schmooze mom and dad and say, oh, man, I'd love to spend time with your child. And by the way, you need to get away for the weekend. Go, go, go. Let me stay with your child. And the parents are like, this is so wonderful that we have somebody in our life like this. And I am saying that that's the kind of behavior that you may want to stand back and say, wait a second, I'm leaving my child with this person. I'm using trappings of normalcy. Maybe I need to dig a little bit deeper. So that's what I talk about in Dangerous Instincts, is looking for certain behaviors that I have found over the years are kind of warning flags. And one good example, it may seem pretty silly, but over the years it's really proven to be true. If somebody has a really bad driving record, that's indicative of a lot more problems. Don't just explain that away. Don't rationalize it. Don't normalize it. There could be more there if you're letting this person into your life. There could be anger management problems. So those are the kinds of things that I think that's just one example of looking for warning behaviors.
Just out of curiosity, if in the example that you gave with Eric Toth, I don't know, maybe I'm old school, maybe I'm conservative, I don't think I am, but I could not fathom leaving my child with a teacher, especially when they offered me the weekend off, so to speak, for any number of reasons. But let's just take the position that the alert, cogent parent does dig a little bit deeper. If they dug deeper, would they have found elements that should have been warning signs?
They would have found elements that would have been warning signs. They would have. And they, quite honestly, they may not have put all of the warning signs together, but there would have been people that, professionals that know how to look at what we call the totality of all the warning signs. And you're not looking for just one or two things necessarily, but there would be people that would be able to look at all of them together and say, this is not adding up, this is not good. But, you know, you say, Chris, that you can't imagine turning your children over to someone that you don't know well, but it does happen all the time. We used to say in the FBI, people were more likely to turn over their child to someone they didn't know well than loan their car out. But when I was growing up, we had things like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and we had activities where you'd spend time with other kids' parents. You weren't turning your child over to some person that you thought was a predator, but it happens on a pretty regular basis. Your child is going with someone you don't know. And hopefully most of the time, everything works out fine. But don't you want to have some tools so that you can do a little bit better screening to make sure that that person, even if they are a scout leader or a teacher, is going to be safe for your child? And the fact that they are a teacher or a scout leader or a minister, that doesn't mean that they can't engage in behavior hurtful or threatening to your child. In fact, when you look at someone and say, oh, that's a teacher, they've never hurt my child, that's called icon in influence or icon intimidation. We give that person credit for being an FBI agent, a teacher, a minister, a clergy, and we say, they could therefore never hurt my child. You've stopped doing your screening when you've fallen prey to icon influence.
This discussion has been fascinating. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I would love to have you back on the show at some point in the near future to continue this conversation.
Oh, I would love to, and I'd like to thank your wonderful audience for their great questions and listening. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope you join me next week with my guest, Chris Reese, the hero of the 2010 Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints, and his father, Mike Reese, to discuss their new book, Recovery of a Lifetime, an inspirational story of how a son's triumph on and off the football field inspired his father to win his battle against a lifetime of addictions. So tune in to find out exactly how they did that next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. Let's talk more next week. I'm Chris FSCU. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris FSCU, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.